Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Tomboy X, the queer-founded clothing line that's inclusive and sustainable. Underwear, swimwear, and more for all bodies. So you can feel good about protecting the goods. Use the code IHEART to get 20% off your first purchase, only at tomboyx.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 166, episode 4 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's ugly, shit-filled shared consciousness. It's Friday, January 8th, 2021. 12 days until January 20th, but 12 days past when this motherfucker should have been removed from office. Should have been... how you say Mussolini? My name is Jack O'Brien, aka Coup d'etat. Oh baby, Trump's gotta go. That is courtesy of one Christy Yamaguchi, man, and I am thrilled to be joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Cause I'm just doom scrolling, 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 scrolling. What? Doom scrolling, 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 scrolling. Come on.
That's the DMX version. I don't know if you remember Roland. I think it was called like the Armed Vehicle. There was some weird ass remix of rap remix to Roland that had DMX on it. And I used to love that shit. Anyway, That was from Cookie Smut. And please, y'all, the doom scroll began. I was, you know, remember how I'm going to get off social media.
Yeah.
You know? Cut to me not eating, drinking, even smoking my beloved weed for hours as my phone just literally went, motherfucker, you need to charge me or do something else. And I tried to put it down and I could not, but I did eventually. And so just a reminder.
That shit was nonstop. I was in the slipstream yesterday.
Yeah.
Not good. Time just disappeared.
I mean, shit is fucking real at the moment. And it's funny how our online culture, like, we managed to find the fun in everything.
Yeah, there's a lot of eloquent shit happening too,
funny and hilarious video edit. I don't know, you had it all.
Yeah,
and I will get to my tweet is like the one thing that could make me laugh yesterday, and I will get to that. I can't wait to share.
Nice
that with
tease. Everybody. That's what we call a tease. That's some first rate podcast shit. I don't know about that.
You know, something happened to me, man. When I saw the Capitol Police just let the fascists right in, I was like, okay, time to step my game up then as a podcaster.
Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious, the talented, the brilliant Shireen Lonnie Unit,
aka Shireen, don't like it. Fuck the police. A close second. I just want to Coop, there it is.
I feel like you still had to hit it with the P, though, just to honor the little whoop.
Coop, there it is.
I have to.
Upside down and inside out.
Capitol Police about to show you what it's all about. Want to come through the front? Let me show you the way. There's Speaker Pelosi's office. Hit it.
Yo, that old man who was just like, I mean, that the entitlement was wild. Them going in there, refusing to wear masks, which might have protected some of their identities. Hopefully they'll all be arrested by this time tomorrow. I'm not holding my breath. But the fact that, like, they wouldn't even wear masks while they were committing treason, sedition, that is amazing. They just wouldn't even think to, because why would we?
I hope they all get COVID. I really do.
Oh yeah.
It's so ironic to me that, like, the people that don't believe that there's a pandemic or a deadly disease going around are so obsessed with God. Like, why? I just don't see. Yeah. I don't know. I don't get it. There's like
interesting
signs and all of that, and it's like, you don't believe that you can, like, get sick.
surrender. You know what I mean? Just vibe it out. You know.
That's, yeah.
Don't you do any risk assessment based on science. Just go off pure vibes.
Yeah.
But the entitlement of the people, there was one guy who was doing like military hand gestures to the police about like, let me in, homie.
Behind the door?
It looked like somebody just trying to be let in the concert through the back door. He's like, can you open? It was like, it was like the eyes were like kind. And it was just tell, like, can you hook me up and let
me? You could tell he had seen some like TV shows or like some sleeper cell shit, like where he had seen the hand gestures and was informed, at least inspired by those. Those were definitely not official military gestures.
No.
And then just all sorts of reports of people being like, wait, what? Why is the police pushing back? What was that? I mean, one dude apparently died of a heart attack. He was so surprised by the...
Three people died of what they called medical...
No, someone tased himself on accident. Well,
yeah, so these are the... I've been tracing the four deaths. There was obviously the woman who just kept coming through the window when somebody... A bunch of people had guns drawn on her. She was shot. There is one woman who was just crushed to death because, obviously, if you look at like some of the footage from inside those... Yeah, it was a just wild stampede. 34-year-old woman crushed there out from Georgia. There was a... elderly gentleman who died of a heart attack when a flashbang went off, and he was like, "Whoa, I thought this was going to be fun. I thought this was going to be friendly." So he passed on. And then there are rumors that somebody tased themselves and that killed them.
Yeah. That's what I heard anyway. But I mean, like, you see, I saw so many videos of there was this one video of a black police officer that like was trying to keep this mob back, and they just kept coming at him, and he was like, stay back, and
that shit,
he just kept going up the stairs. It was terrifying.
That was the most infuriating video for me to watch throughout the whole fucking ordeal, to be honest. That one specifically, of a black man who is armed, and there
in
is
uniform.
a white mob rushing him. And most police officers would use that moment to just fucking shoot whoever it was. And I know a lot of people say, well, then maybe that would have triggered or whatever. People would have overwhelmed him. Regardless, to have to watch this black man exercise that kind of restraint and figure out how he's not going to just kill these people, because he was clearly did not want to do that. And he did, you know, he was doing what he had to do to at least delay these people getting further and further into the Capitol throughout all this. And just the juxtaposition of everything was really awful, because I'm like, because meanwhile, outside, there were people who were like yucking it up with him and letting him on in.
Taking
and then this man
and
is on his job
and
still trying to not kill someone.
That video
despite
was like,
despite all the shit that happens to people of color on the when everything's reversed, that really fucked me up.
I think that video really drove home that before anything, the color of your skin is what it is. Like, before a cop, he's a black man. You know what I mean? Like, that was the ultimate dynamic for me. Like, he was still it was just really terrifying to watch. Right. And Yeah, it's just the
speaks
lack
to the
of
different
fear
mentalities
of the other
that
side.
Exist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean those considerations of, well, if we shoot them, they'll become martyrs. If we remove him from office, he'll become a martyr. Like, that shit obviously doesn't work because of what we saw yesterday. Like, it is the entitlement and the expectations that the people who are responsible will have make those considerations that enabled what happened yesterday. So, yeah. Or 2 days ago. So, I'm done with
and
that.
And who knows
shit.
What's going to happen right now as we're recording, too.
Yeah. I mean, this is, we're recording this on Thursday, y'all. So, we don't know yet, but people. Well, I can tell you what needs to happen, which is everybody needs to be removed from office. I know they already fired the Senate, like, head of security or something. They need to fire all those motherfuckers. They need to arrest everybody who, you know, just went in there with their face out in the open, smiling.
Yeah,
their budget.
It's on video. It's on. There's so many photos and evidence of who exactly they were and everything. It shouldn't be hard.
And I love those
tweets. They've arrested people on less.
Snitched like a motherfucker.
Absolutely.
You know, and the thing, even just, that Capitol Police, their budget is $550 million.
Yeah.
With over 1,800 sworn in officers, I believe is what the numbers are there.
Is that Capitol Police, like the police
who just police the Capitol?
That building,
that is their domain. That region of the city. They're not DC Metro Police. They're not.
I mean, the building. I mean, that area is a huge part of the Capitol in general. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, Capitol Police, like, they really have that many people to protect that little block of space.
They have $550 million.
Mm-hmm. That's absurd.
That's why we'll get into all of that, but that's why I think a lot of the cries about, like, who was fucking collaborating from within the Capitol Police you know, whether it was them giving specific orders to let people pass or just through lack of action were aiding and abetting this nonsense. That's, I think, something that needs to be revealed.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we can tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about today, but that's it. I mean, that's what we're talking about. Also, Elon Musk is the richest man in the world now.
Surprise,
so that's
surprise.
Big news, everyone.
Yeah. He beat Jeff Bezos?
Yeah. So we got to eat him
this
first.
This world is fucked. Get me out of here.
Yeah. Catapult me into outer space the moment I can. But then again, I don't want to meet
him up
there.
Into one of Elon Musk's space condos.
Yeah.
Yo, they are the two. They're having like a rich guy arms race, and they're also having a rich guy space race. That's where we're at. That's
and
our society is devolved.
Working people tax the shit out of the ass race.
Yeah. Before any of that, Shireen, we like to get to know you a little bit better and ask you what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are.
Well, okay, this is from yesterday, and I don't have a TV anymore. I moved. I, like, downsized a lot. I don't have cable. I get a lot of my news from the internet, but yesterday I was, like, tired of Twitter, and I found myself just Googling news, and it was, like, I just felt really silly because I was,
the word news?
Yeah, the word news, and I was,
fuck yeah.
I'm dumb. Like,
does that work?
Like, I opened my Google app on my phone and I was like, news. And I was
Jack's literally Googling news.
I'm Googling news right now.
I mean, it just comes up as news. And there are tabs on Google where you could like anything you Google, there's a news tab. So news. And I was like, oh.
Oh, what's the news on the news?
I don't know. It was kind of funny though. Cause like, I feel like as every like Wednesday, which is yesterday for us, it was just so many things that kept coming in. And I was just tired of like getting inundated by tweets. And I mean, some of them were funny because in dark, traumatic times, people try to make light of things and it does help. But that was my Google search thing. It was just news. And I realized at that moment that I'm like, oh, my brain has become mush. Like I have nothing else to offer other than just how do I need to.
Was it that like muscle memory thing? Because I do that sometimes where like I'll just open like I'm bored. And I open a tab and then I'm just like trying to type anything.
Yeah. And I was just like, how do I get informed? News.
Right.
And then I was just like,
news.
I felt so dumb. I didn't realize it until after it had populated. It wasn't like, what did I just
what
Google?
Have I
like
done?
News? Like, I don't know.
What have I become?
Anyway, that was a really great moment for my brain yesterday. So
I'm getting a nice broad cross-section of news about the Washington, D.C. riot, about Elaine Chao resigning, about the Supreme Court. You know, Breyer is in the retirement spotlight after Democratic wins. And the Georgia Bulldogs get big news with the return of NG Jordan Davis.
All right.
So, hey, football fans.
There's a little salve for your wounds down there, Republicans in Georgia.
That's right. What's something you think is underrated, Shereen?
Okay, well, because it's like January, everyone was doing these like year-end lists or whatever the hell, and I didn't see this. Okay, one of my favorite things of last year was the Midnight Gospel, and I didn't see it on like anyone's like favorites or anything, and it came out at a time like in the spring. It's like an animated show on Netflix, The Midnight Gospel. It's like a perfect show. It like really, Duncan Trussell like made part of his podcast. Like he like used some of the audio of his podcast and he animated it.
Right.
And,
it's wild.
Like added more voices to like make it into a show. It's so, so good. And, I like psychedelics and like shrooms, and it was like a really fun shroom trip each episode. And,
yeah.
Call it The Medicine, please.
But yeah, I just think it's like, it was like one of the best things I saw last year. And it was just really underrated. No one really gave it the love I thought it deserved. So if you haven't seen it out there, anybody, you should watch it. The Midnight Gospel. It makes you feel good. And it's not that long. It's pretty good. And, give animation a shot. It's not just for kids.
I'll have a bite of that.
It definitely uses animation in a way that is like very inventive and
I'm pretty sure
definitely
the same
not
people...
just for kids. Just
yeah, it's not just for kids. Is it the I feel like the same person that did Futurama might have been collaborating on it. Maybe I'm getting that wrong. Midnight Gospel animate. But anyway, yeah, I just think it's great and underrated as hell. It's just so, so good.
When you say like it does a lot with animation, like, you know, last time
Adventure
I said some...
time. Adventure Time.
Oh, that makes sense. The characters look the same. That the animation, last time I heard or had even expressed, I'm like, oh, they went there with the animation, was probably Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, yeah.
You talking like that level of when you watch, you're like, oh, okay, that was slick. I see what
you
did there.
Yeah. I mean, like, Spider-Verse was obviously like, more 3D impressiveness.
Of course, and this is two-dimensional.
And this is like two-dimensional, right. But it's the same idea where it's like you're not
alternate universes.
You don't really care that you're watching a cartoon. I mean, I love cartoons. I'm a nerd. It's great.
It opens with this dude in a trailer park in an alternate dimension who travels into different realms by sticking his head in a giant asshole. And
all right, say less.
it's really good.
I get it. I'm like, yep. I like that. I love hearing a thing where, you know, writers are clearly just like blue skying something. And they're like, and then it's an asshole. And then everybody's like, that's what we're going with.
Just,
and I'm like,
it becomes
I like
reality.
That dedication to the content.
And it's like sci-fi-y, and I really like it.
Oh, yeah.
And like, it's
every, it's just like a stream of just wild inventive images just entering your brain and just like kind of flowing together on stream of consciousness of like whoever the artist is who's creating it. It's
whoever the artist is and whoever the guest that he had on. I think like especially like as a podcaster, it was nice to see someone like you have like occasionally like really great conversations when you're talking to someone over a show or whatever.
Oh, really?
It becomes like therapy. And it was nice that he shut up, Miles. It was nice that he
Word?
Those moments.
Oh, have you heard on my show? Have you seen
them? Okay, maybe not this show.
It was just
nice that he like found a way to I don't know, make those like therapeutic like conversations into like this really beautiful animation journey.
Right.
So
and give it more texture.
Yeah, yeah. It's always fun for me to see how this medium can be transformed, you know? Yeah. So
and they get cool. You know, they're having the sort of philosophical conversations that you have on drugs or that occur to you while you're on drugs.
Exactly. And I really like that.
Yeah,
I love
me
the
too.
Philosophy. I love the psychology behind it. I'm like,
yeah, it's dope.
I learn something each episode. And like at the end, like the final episode, like I sobbed. It was so, because it's like, it gets really deep and it's about loss and it's like still really personal for
the way y'all are talking like philosophy, this other stuff. It sounds like everybody just got back from the first semester of college.
Yeah. It's got,
you know,
some
what
of
I mean?
That.
As an anime, like where it kind of, we're like,
hey,
damn,
that's fair.
Like, I really, not like in a derogatory, but like
no,
in
know.
The same ones that you watched it and you're like, huh. Huh.
But I mean, okay.
Right, but not that
it
it's profound,
kind of
but it's
like
a feeling.
That.
Yeah, yeah, I like
because
that. No, I love
in
that.
In the spring, and like I think it came out maybe, I don't know, but it was like when the pandemic
came out on 420.
Like, oh, nice.
Yeah, appropriately.
Yeah, but it was a welcome mind expander for me because I was like
totally.
At home and I couldn't leave. And I think
all
it
right.
came at a great time to like expand your mind. And I had just gone on like a really intense shroom trip for my birthday in April, so I was in that right headspace to be like,
there you go.
Yeah, so
more truth.
Yeah,
and aesthetically,
so that's why I was underrated.
It does aesthetically like borrow a little bit from the you know, those intricate black light posters where you're like,
oh hell yeah,
you know, you're experiencing a new realm.
Old
that is inside the brain of somebody who's very high. What is something you think is overrated, Shereen?
Well, okay, I had a little bit of trouble coming up with this one, and I guess I was just on like a media train in my brain, but this movie got a lot of hype and praise, and I think it could just, we could do so much better. I did not like Happiest Season. I thought it was bad, and I didn't think it was funny. At the same time, I think as a member of the queer community, like we should have like just bad rom-coms, like because
yeah.
we should just have more of them in general. So having one be bad isn't a big deal. We just need more of them. But I think for me, when I was watching it, like one of the partners, Harper in the movie.
Is that the one that was in Terminator?
Yes.
Kristen Stewart.
Yes. Yeah.
The Terminator.
Not Kristen
yeah,
Stewart.
Yeah. Yes. I didn't know her name, and I was watching Her Majesty, and she's like, that's so-and-so. I'm like, yo, that's the Terminator.
Mackenzie
she's
Davis.
Like, you watch that movie? I'm like, I watch all the Terminator films.
I think her name is
you
Mackenzie
didn't?
Right.
Yeah.
But anyway, go on, sorry.
It's okay. No. I think her name is Mackenzie Davis, I think. But she
right,
was, like,
yeah.
in that really, like, one of the best, like, Black Mirror episodes. Like, she's been in
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But her character is, like, pretty abusive in the
yes.
movie. Like she gaslights her partner, she manipulates them, like she publicly outs two people like in a really like aggressively violent way, like not violent physically but like an emotionally violent experience. And I don't know, I was kind of just like mad about the movie.
Sure.
And I just didn't think it was very funny, and I just think we can do better. And at the same time, I know that we should just let things exist because we need more of them, the same way that like Rami shouldn't be the only like Middle Eastern show. This shouldn't be the only gay rom-com. But
yeah,
I think because it was the first gay like big budget thing from Hulu that happened to have like female love interests or whatever, I think it just got so much praise and so much like really like hype. And I also don't think it was that deserved. And at the same time, it was like, there was like a weird, it was really, really white. And I know the family that was like at question was like this white Republican family, but it made these people that were like pretty homophobic into like funny characters, which I thought was
right.
really strange. And there was like one, the one of the sisters' husband, one of the sisters has a husband and he is a black man. And so their children are like black children. But I feel like they were just there to be like, look, it's not all white. And then there's this one shot that I can't believe they kept in, but it's like a split second shot of the black man juggling, like where they're all like having fun together and they're all like sitting, like opening presents, and they're all like laughing, and he's like entertaining them. And then it ends. I'm just like, what? Like,
fuck.
How did you keep that in?
Right.
I don't know. It was just, so I don't know.
He's but like, hold on, let me get my white gloves. I'm going to turn this show up real quick. It's like, oh my God, what is this shit?
Maybe I was reading too much into it, but like, it was such a white movie, and the few times he appeared were like already like I'm black or whatever. And so right. having that shot just was so strange to me. But other than that, I think
it's, it was great.
It was fine.
Yeah.
A little bit overrated, but whatever.
I liked that Mary Holland like wrote it and is funny and was funny. I thought she was funny in it, but
yeah, she was really funny.
The main character, you're right, Mackenzie is or maybe
bad.
That's not
she's
her name's
terrible.
Harper.
Yeah. She's a terrible she's person.
A bad person. And when we were reviewing it for our like holiday movies and review, I was like, and that's, you know, an interesting choice to make one of the rom-com leads a bad person. That's
like
groundbreaking.
Objectively a terrible right. human being. Like,
yeah.
And you learn about what she did in high school, which is like not really a spoiler because you learn about it earlier, but like
yeah.
publicly, like, I don't know, like her, she basically like destroyed her
yeah,
someone's
violence.
Life that she was in a relationship Absolutely. With by outing them, and then she does it again. It's just like you haven't learned, you haven't progressed. It's just you're
she
terrible.
Is America.
She mm-hmm. is America.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then in the end, her conservative ass parents are like, "We love you anyways, dear," and we're like, yeah. "Yay, it's all cool now."
Yeah, exactly.
So.
And it's all this like a montage of them having a good time with Kristen Stewart, and it's just like, mm-hmm. come on. I don't know.
They hold out a gaze for Trump sign. They're like, huh?
Exactly.
Uh-huh. See? Uh-huh. See? Look
exactly.
at us.
He won the election. Yay. Her dad is literally a politician, a homophobic
yeah,
politician.
Yeah, he is. He's like running for mayor, and that's a big reason why she's closeted.
Keep it under wraps.
Yeah. yeah.
Right.
So it's like... I don't
is this
know.
Movie set in like the 80s? What is, yeah.
I feel like, they did write it several years ago, I think.
Right.
It just takes a while to make. So maybe it would have been, I don't know how many years ago it would have made more sense to me, but I just think it's like, it deals with pretty traumatic things.
Well, especially as like the nuances around things like that become more like broad reaching, like more mm-hmm. people understand like, oh, you can't just out someone
who, yeah
like that's a decision they have to make. And so I think like as the pace of society sort of changes too, like those kinds of things that you kind of used to be like, oh yeah, I don't know, we're not really we're not having in-depth conversations about these dimensions of a given experience, but now that we are, some of those like you're saying are like, oh my god.
Yeah.
Harper, no.
Yeah. She's just an object. Even without that, she's just a bad partner, a bad person, and then she gets everything she wants in the end. She's just my type.
I think the best part, though, even though it was weird, the humor came out of Kristen Stewart's inability to be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
Those gave me the hardest laughs. I'm like, oh, this is great. Like, she's so off, because that's her, like, and we said this too, like, that's her energy, but it was deployed in, like, the right spots, even though she can't really do, like, comedy, that I was like, oh, that was good, and moving on.
Yeah, I don't know if I laughed at all. Maybe just, like, I must have laughed. I do like Aubrey Plaza. I like Aubrey Plaza. I think she was really hot in it, but,
That was also... an interesting decision to have somebody who was so much more deserving of the love of of the protagonist, like, just be there and then then be like, all right,
just be a viable option. And then she still goes to like an abusive partner, like not physically, like emotional abuse is a real thing. And the whole movie, Kristen Stewart's character is like pretty much getting manipulated, emotionally gaslit or whatever. You know, it's just like, it's just weird. And at the same time, again, I will go back to saying, like, not every gay movie has to be like an Oscar-winning thing. Like, we should have bad gay movies.
Just like
we should also have good ones.
The Christian white cis het set can make prolific. They're prolific in the trash production.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Everybody has the right to make shit films.
Exactly. Mm. So we just need more. So this doesn't have to be the one that like it's heralded as like this groundbreaking thing, you know? So I don't know. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to make us talk about that for an hour.
No,
we had the energy for it.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about the coup.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to the best one yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to the best one yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women. Tomboy X designs gender and size inclusive underwear and apparel. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at tomboyx.com.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And where should we start? Should we start with how this looks to the rest of the world?
Sure.
Yeah.
Our
allies are, you know, viewing this with, you know, they as outsiders are like, yo, that was clearly like they just let them in, right? Like that's right. That was. Because I'm seeing this a lot of places, people being like, this wasn't a coup because it was just like disorganized. It's like, yo, the police were clearly letting them in a lot of cases. There was not the security there.
There's videos of him just, like, there's a video everyone must have seen at this point, but like, the cop just opens the gate.
Yeah. And, well, and then there are clips, taking, you know, selfies, to be fair. With
him. Right.
Like the black man, the black officer who is the one man fucking defense line. And there are other people, like, in the rotunda. But I think more than that, right, the sort of the doubts that are being cast over this come from outside, like law enforcement in allied countries like France, who have trained with law enforcement in the U.S., specifically Capitol Police. And they're like, OK, so what do y'all do to lock your shit down? Because they share all this information with each other. And they're looking at this and they're like, it looked like they basically only had gates up until the last line of defense, which were all those just like sort of confused officers at the end. So even if they let them in or whatever, they're like, nah, 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 nah. They're like, you only had the fucking, the protection up to that point. And that's when everyone's like, this fucking stinks. Like
somebody
shit.
Was sabotaging it at the very least from the inside. Somebody yeah. who was in charge of, you know, making the preparations. These motherfuckers were wearing t-shirts that like it was a tour that was mm-hmm. like this day, the date January 6th, storm the Capitol day, like MAGA yeah. storm the Capitol day. Like this was a series of tweets from December where this dude just laid out exactly what was going to happen yeah. beat for beat. And like, yeah, he was like, yo, if you read on like their just where they're planning this out in the open, not even like in secret chat rooms or like in encrypted places, they're just planning this out in the open. This is what's going to happen. They are going to start with a rally where Trump is going to whip them into a frenzy. They're going to go. They're going to storm the Capitol. It's going to be
or exactly, walk in rather
yeah.
walk in. Yeah. Just walked in.
Yeah,
it wasn't that. It wasn't like some SEAL
wasn't
team.
That
six.
Stormy.
They walked. Yeah. They fucking walked in. And I think
yeah,
that's another
it's
pretty breezy.
It.
I think yeah, and a lot of people are like on the internet are like, we should actually stop saying that because it yeah. looked rather convenient yeah. for everyone to just waltz right in.
Yeah, the one thing I did see some people like climbing over like a wall, but even that, like, there. Why were there any police people guarding that wall? Like, right. You know what I mean? Like, but I will say. To what Jack is saying, like it was so out in the open. I don't know if you guys read Robert Evans wrote this article on. Like,
I read
5th.
It the day before the Bellingcat one. He
yeah.
wrote.
Yeah,
yeah,
he, like,
yeah.
It's
and
a,
he's
it's
been
a
saying
really,
this shit. Yeah,
I mean, like, yeah, I mean, Robert Evans is like informed
and,
as hell, but
and many other people too, because Robert was also giving it up to people on Twitter because he's like, I only got into this shit 2 years
yes,
ago. He's like,
exactly.
This is on the backs of all these other people. So. Shout out to all the people who actually monitor all this extremism because they have been doing the work that law enforcement should be doing, but they don't care enough about where, you know, they want to maintain white supremacy. So it's not a priority.
Exactly. And I read through that. He like put together all of like just like these screenshots from all these forums where they had been planning it from like just months ago. And I mean, like November, December. And they were just. It's just appalling because they're not hiding their identities. They're not saying they're not using like secret words. They're just very out in the open. Like, how many guns are you going to bring? And like, we should fly into an outside airport because you're not allowed to like open carry is not allowed in DC. So we have to like organize all of that. And they're just so like, if none of these people get arrested or if none of these people get anything like. I just don't understand what is law. There is this like law doesn't really exist, you know, because. They're just running rampant.
There's just white supremacy. That's all.
Yeah.
It is.
Like
that's
this
all
country
it.
Was, values with yeah. violence behind it.
And this country was like founded on like racism and white supremacy, and it'll do
and
anything. It'll stop at nothing to just keep those things intact. And this
right.
is just like a huge example of that.
And that's what we said, even you know, in the summer. It's a living thing. So it will do what it has to protect itself when it feels its existence is being threatened.
Yeah.
Police. The sort of sanctity of our law enforcement was being threatened and people were no longer willing to be like, no, actually, we actually need to begin looking at how our law enforcement is operating. And they came out and started clubbing the shit out of people because mm-hmm. they have to maintain the status quo. And this is yeah. the exact same thing. And I was just fucked up on so many levels watching this thing. I wasn't surprised because we've talked about it constantly. We've talked about just because the coup looks dumb. That's still it's still attempted robbery. And you're not right. treating it like that because they didn't even have, they had a dull knife that they pulled up on me with and I knocked them out. That doesn't matter. You still have people that are a threat to, you know, whatever this thing is, this system, as imperfect as it is. And so not just that, right? Like all of, it just brought back all of this shit from the summer for me because it was truly another lesson or we had to bear witness again to white supremacy in action. And there's truly two Americas. You know, Josh Williams, he was arrested when he was 18 years old because he was protesting in Ferguson and they got him on these arson charge, whatever the fuck. He's still in jail right yeah. now.
One of his charges child. Was stealing a bag of potato chips.
Yes. Miriam Carey was shot 26 times dead with her baby in the backseat of her car because she made a U-turn at a checkpoint near the Capitol. And we still don't know what the fuck happened there. And I mean, if you need me to describe what the victim looks like, I can. But I think I think you know what this means. And absolutely. This is what, meanwhile, you have these motherfuckers see walking in the House chamber And the police, when they interviewed, they were interviewing people who got out of the Capitol, and they were saying, yeah, and then the police, the fucking people who trespassed this, these fascist people were saying, oh, and then the police ushered us out. They used the word ushered, not shove me the fuck out, club me the fuck out. They ushered me out like the club, like club security when the lights come on, being like, all right, y'all, come on now.
Like literally held an old lady's hand, walked her down the stairs.
Yeah.
And it's still, you know, and like what's sad is like that's still not going to convince a lot of people that there's still these two Americas, that white supremacy, white privilege is in action at every level constantly. And, you know, I think every black person in America and any person who is connected to oppression in this country looked at that and said, yep, there it is.
Yeah.
That's what that is. And we knew that that shit was coming. And, you know, it's just wild to see that, like, if you fight on behalf of the downtrodden and against injustice, inequality, racism, greed, you get your fucking eye shot out. You get thrown into vans and detained for hours without any information. You are humiliated by homophobic and transphobic police officers. You are killed. But if you are one of these people who fight against this abstract enemy, which they cannot articulate in service of the preservation of white supremacy and greed, you are ushered into the Capitol and told to just do your thing like it's a birthday rental of a discovery zone for white grievance. Like, this is the difference. And it just shows you, like, when they reward reward the group that gets violent in the name of nonsense. Because yep. They don't know what's going on. They have had their naivete weaponized against them. And we said this before we got on mic. Imagine if people stormed the Capitol in the name of healthcare. Because right. We've seen them flip disabled people out of wheelchairs for peacefully protesting it in the Capitol. I remember the Capitol Police when they did that shit and do that shit. Imagine if they were there in the name of wages or racial justice. They would be destroyed. But since they pull up in the name of... what do we call it? Stop the steal. Yeah. It's encouraged. Yes, continue to not see the real problem, people, because we're fucked if y'all get on the same page and realize we're puppet mastering the fuck out of half the country so they don't realize what the fuck time it is. And even before the shots were fired or the tear gas was dispersed, this civil war has not ended since fucking 1860, 1861, 1865. Whether it's black codes or Jim Crow, or redlining, Plessy versus Ferguson, the crack epidemic, HIV, AIDS epidemic, mass incarceration, they have never ceased the campaign to keep people in bondage and to kill them, even if it is at a glacial pace. And so I was not surprised, but I'm still disheartened. And it's truly, it's hard to see because what happens next is gonna set the table forever. You know, like, we already fucked up in the Civil War and said, you know what? Y'all were wilding out because we tried to take your slaves away and try and do the right thing. You know, you have a seat at the table again. If we don't kick these malignant fucking representatives out of Congress that rah-rahed this bullshit, then we're fucked. If we do not skull fuck Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, all these other social media sites that platform this bullshit, that is a huge misstep. Allowing Schumer and Pelosi to give their friends on the other side of the aisle a pass on this and just move on will result in our own demise. So I don't know. I mean, as if, you know, I think the rot of this country has been very visible for a lot of people. You know, it began with the mistreatment of indigenous and black people in this country. And that wasn't enough, apparently, for people to see. This is what they will do to people in the name of minority rule. And now it's just poisoning everyone. And my fear is that you don't know where you go from here. You don't know.
I do think that, like you were saying, that people will still argue that there's not two Americas. I think they'll argue that. I don't think there's anyone who doesn't know that there's a wild double standard. At the very least, after yesterday, I think heading into yesterday, I think that's why they were surprised when they faced even a little bit of resistance. And I've been saying since the summer that the white supremacists know at some deep level that they're full of shit. They know they're not the superior race. And that's why this is so violent, because they know that they are fighting for the survival of ideas that aren't right And like they would never, they probably don't even say that in their own head. They don't vocalize that even in their own thoughts, but they know, like the human mind is huge and there's a lot of it that we don't have access to consciously, but they know at a certain level. And that's where the hatred, that's where the entitlement, the violence comes from. And I think you're right that what happens next, let's take a break and then we need to talk about what happens next, because it can't be abided anymore. It just can't. I mean, one way or another, there needs to be repercussions.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Tomboy X, the queer-founded clothing line that's inclusive and sustainable. Underwear, swimwear, and more for all bodies. So you can feel good about protecting the goods. Use the code IHEART to get 20% off your first purchase, only at tomboyx.com.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Sorry, Shereen. Wait,
no, don't apologize. That was powerful as shit. No, but I mean, yeah, I obviously agree with everything that was said. It's just
Shereen's like, where do I start? I mean, where do I start?
No, but I mean, it is. I think I'm getting really frustrated with, like, I mean, I don't know. Democrats are basically just all the same at this point, and making excuses for, or like, applauding Republicans that are finally condemning something that they should have condemned years ago really doesn't sit right with me. And I also just think, like, all these people
They're terrorizing a country that they still have the most privilege in, and that they'll always have the most privilege in, because it was founded on their ideals. And they know that. They know that the whiteness of their skin comes with a power and protection of from this country, and they wield it violently. And it's just so disturbing, because it's they went to the Capitol knowing that they wouldn't die. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, obviously there have been deaths, but
right. And then when shots were fired, they were so confused.
Yeah, exactly. And that comes with whiteness. And it's just a terrifying display of wielding power and refusing to let it go, despite having the most privilege out of everyone in the country. It's like, I don't understand where the sense of injustice comes from.
It comes from Georgia. You know,
yeah,
that happening was the last stop that told them the lights are out for y'all.
Yeah.
Now the lights have gone out. The House, the Senate, and the White House are completely out of your hands now.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you look at that, Georgia specifically, right? Just these southern states, most people are like, I'll give up on these places. They're not, they're everybody's backwards. They're racist, even though there are plenty of people of color and they're diverse minds down in the South. But it's all about minority rule. And like we were saying on the day the results of the Georgia Senate race came in, it's that all the people were saying, it's not that it's conservative stronghold. They've been suppressing the fuck out the vote in this place for fucking ever, to the point most people don't even bother. That's
exactly
the
what I was. Yeah, there was a tweet that I really loved from Midwin Charles. They said, now do you understand why Republicans suppress black votes? I hereby declare that the southern states are not red. They are suppressed.
Yes.
And that's exactly right. Like, that's these red states that even I, as a voter, I'm just like, they're going to be red. You know what I mean? Like, that's the Trump
but
land
this
or
thing,
whatever.
Right? For people who always could go to bed as conservatives, because they know it's minority rule. They know, they look at the that's why they're angry. They're demographically, numerically, they're quantifiably outnumbered in disposition, philosophy, and physical numbers. Mm-hmm. And that minority rule really is seen in the fact that Georgia went blue.
Yeah.
And that means, holy, shit's not going to start going red.
Yeah.
Because they're playing a losing hand with white supremacy. So the only option they had was to fucking gerrymander the fuck out of these places, keep people from voting. It's the only fucking way. And now that that's slipping, they're really seeing, well, fuck, now all I do have is my anger, because right now minority rule is even a threat. Like, even the thing that we use to keep people oppressed is starting to fade away. And that's also causing a panic in these people, because that's another indicator to them that they're privilege, their power is beginning to wane. And it's, I mean, look at the fucking people that were vibing out in the hotel lobby that night after going to the Capitol and breaking shit and doing all this other shit. It was like middle class, wealthy people.
Yeah. It was like the whole day was like this, like field trip, like an eighth grade field trip. And then they're just like relaxing afterwards.
It looked like South By. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like broke ass South By. Like,
I mean, at the same time, they're getting encouragement from congresswomen, like officials. Like, Mary Miller, is that her name? She said Hitler got one thing right. Like, she literally quoted Hitler making a speech. Like, that is appalling. Like, I mean, not surprising, but I mean, the fact that, like, the quiet things that should be, like, are, like supporting white supremacy, that's just, like, out in the open now. And that's just, like, she's still an elected official. She's still able to do that. Like, that should be grounds for out. Like, I just
expulsion everything.
Yeah,
all of them.
Nazis will be Nazis, like you said. I don't know if we were recording when you said that,
no,
but like,
but
you're right,
that's
it's like
our
boys
attitude.
Will be boys, Nazis will be Nazis, we just have to live with it. And it's like, we don't
deal with anything that way. We don't deal with patriarchy is boys will be boys, even if they are assaulting people left and right and there's no way to stop it. Rather, we will do nothing to try and address this issue or have a reckoning with it. Oh, you know, white supremacists just gonna white supremacy. I mean, what can you do? And cut to this scene. That's what happens when you shrug off this shit. Because this is why I get so pissed off, right? In the summer, I'm fucking begging people. You know, white people, You have to start checking these white people. Because when you don't, they think this shit is all good. And look at them. They were confused when law enforcement tried to enforce some kind of law. Mm-hmm. That's how runaway this thinking has gone.
Yeah.
But if you don't have people out here saying, no, fuck that. No, we can't do that. This is not happening. Then it just gets worse and worse. And we have people in positions of power being like, you know, Nancy Pelosi trying to act like we're just going to turn the page hours after people came through her office and stomped shit. What the fuck are you talking about? That just shows you the level of insulation these people have from all of this. And the fact that it took them, you know, a mob at their fucking doorstep to wake the fuck up and start out loud being like, should we remove the president? It's like,
after
what
all
the,
this time,
where the fuck have y'all been?
Yeah.
Y'all could have done that after Charlottesville.
Yeah.
But no. And it grew and it grows and it grows and it grows and will not stop growing until you fucking have a reckoning with this shit.
Yeah.
And it's just fucked up, man. And then it was shitty then to see like the people of color cleaning up the fucking aftermath.
Yeah.
In the Capitol. Adding insult to injury. I'm like, this whole thing is so fucking poisonous.
Yeah.
But we still have people on TV acting like, what could we have done or whatever? You can start calling this shit out.
Yeah.
You know, and start treating this shit as serious.
At the very least, like, call it out and don't let it just, like, fade away. Like, it's going to keep festering. It's like an infected wound. And it's just going to keep festering until we actually do something about it. The whole country is like that. The whole country is a stupid infested wound. And we're just like, I don't know. It's just,
well, we never ridded ourselves of these tumors centuries ago.
Yeah.
But it is in every cell. Like that's the thing that pissed me off so much about Joe Biden saying that this isn't America. This is the fucking DNA of America. This is everything about America. Reality in America tilts in the direction of white supremacy. If there was any other cause besides explicit white supremacy, which is what this was, the fact that there were two pipe bombs found in D.C. yesterday, the fact that these motherfuckers went in to the halls of Congress with zip ties and guns, like they were planning. And today the New York Times and the fucking Washington Post are saying that this isn't a coup, and like they're having fucking semantic arguments about whether this is a coup. Well, like what the fuck else do you need to know? What like this would be
because they didn't do it.
Right. Because
they didn't pull it off. It's like, okay, so it's not till the fucking noose is around your neck and you're on the gallows and you're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
I think it was a coup, y'all.
Yeah. It's
But that's how this country moves.
Yeah.
You
Again,
have to fuck
founded in white supremacy is going to uphold them forever. And yeah, like Jack is right. Like this is America. Like this shouldn't be a surprise. Like this is exactly where we're headed. It's exactly how we started. Like this is exactly who we are. Not we, like, you know, America, yeah, this is exactly this is what culture. It is. And it's always been this way. This is just the first time we've seen it implode in such a fashion. Like, if there wasn't, like, social media or cameras around or whatever, like, we probably wouldn't get all the coverage that we got, you know what I mean? But in this part of our, like, human history, this is what we're dealing with. And this is just the iteration of this version of America there's just like a different mutation of the same thing. Is it just a different mutation of the same tumor?
Mm-hmm. When we talk about what needs to happen going forward, just to kind of address the other side of the coin, DJ Daniel just posted in the chat of our Zoom this post on Parler, which is, you know, Nazi social media, the fact that it's allowed to just exist, like that's not acceptable.
That's
but
troubling.
Colonel T. Perez tweeted today, January 6, 2021, we patriots by the millions have arrived in Washington, D.C., not the millions, carrying banners of support for the greatest president the world has ever known. But if we must, many of us will return on January 19th, carrying our weapons in support of our nation's resolve, to which the world will never forget. I mean, that sentence is a fucking mess, but we will come in numbers that no standing army or police agency can match. However, the police are not our enemy unless they choose to be. All who will not stand with the American patriots or who cannot stand with us, then that would be a good time for you to take a few vacation days. So this is, you know, they were paying attention. The white supremacists were paying attention yesterday. They saw, wow, they will let us get away with a lot of shit. The president will actively not call in the National Guard. Like, they'll have to overrule the president to call in the National Guard to address a situation where we're storming in trying to kidnap Congress. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
but they're patriots, you know, they're just patriots. They're just, but like, I mean, this text, that's like terrorism 101. Like, what more do you need? I don't understand. Yes. I don't understand. Because like,
people have they're fucking gagging on a steady diet of black and brown faces being the objects of terror.
Yeah. Yep.
Or being the perpetrators of it. You know, how much money have we spent monitoring black people over the years, monitoring mm-hmm. Muslims over the years? Yeah. How much money have we spent doing that? And all the while, this is going on. And we've allowed it to get to levels where now they're so high on their shit that they're like, basically what that Parler fucking tweet or Parler, whatever the fuck they call it, that's the equivalent of them being like, damn, we should have brought our guns yesterday.
Yes.
That's all that is.
Yeah.
And we'll see if law enforcement gets their shit together. But this is what's, it's disheartening to know that, I mean, not disheartening. It's like the worst nightmare. We're being like, well, what could Trump do? And it's like, oh, okay, so he could delay allowing the National Guard to get there to secure the building. He'll have Rudy Giuliani dial the wrong senator and leave a voicemail thinking he's talking to Tommy Tuberville. On some, hey, just delay this shit as much as you can, man. Delay this shit as much as you can, please. We got other stuff coming out.
Wait, what happened?
Rudy Giuliani was trying to get Tommy Tuberville to object to halt the certification, to raise more objections.
Mm-hmm.
But Rudy dialed the wrong senator.
Shocking.
And left it on another senator's voicemail. And they're like, oh my God. All right, here, Washington Post, you want to look at this?
Right.
Well, that was as the people were storming.
Yeah.
So it was just, yeah. Okay.
He's just feeding the flame. He's feeding the fire.
He is on board. I mean, he called for a trial by combat. They stormed with guns and zip ties to kidnap the Congress. Like, that's straight up. Like, I don't know what other evidence you need that Trump and Giuliani were, you know, Trump would not call in the National Guard. That is a straight up fucking coup attempt.
Yeah.
That is exactly what it is.
He said, oh, I'm not going to stop that. Let them do their thing because that's going to help me out.
I mean, they're also terrorists. Like, I want to start calling Trump a terrorist.
He's the leader of a terrorist group.
Yeah. And it's like, the amount of money we've spent monitoring black people, Muslim people, people of color,
the fucking Dakota Access Pipeline demonstration, motherfuckers were infiltrating those demonstrations.
And the whole while, like the greatest threat to, in quotes, democracy, peace, or whatever, it's always been the white man. It's always been white supremacy since the dawn of fucking time of this country and beyond. And still, we can't.
But the way this country sees it, the biggest threat to this country is people wanting equality. Bottom line. That's what it is. That's the line in the sand. And I hope more people of good conscience draw a line in the sand in terms of what the people in this, whatever the fuck is going on in DC right now, because they're talking about like, let's recess for a minute. You need to remove the fucking president.
Immediately.
More lives are going to be lost. That's a guarantee. That's a nailed on fact right now. And to try and, you know, dish this off to be like, oh, Pence, please invoke the 25th Amendment so we don't have. Come on, Nancy, get your shit together. You know, Ilhan Omar drew up articles of impeachment.
The country when has there ever been a more urgent need for you to be fucking doing your job?
Yeah.
Like,
but to Miles' point, like Omar, a woman of color, needs to do the work that all these other like these white people aren't going to do. You know what I mean?
White people don't know the threat of white supremacy. That's the problem.
That's right.
Most white people have a complete blind spot to white supremacy because they benefit from it. And even if you think racism is abhorrent, you might not realize your blind spot for white supremacy as it exists and manifests for people in this country and around the world. But yeah, that's truly it. It takes, because the loudest people are the people of color, mm-hmm. saying, what the fuck is going on? Because we know, we've seen what runaway whiteness does. It leads to lynch mobs. It leads to the Black Wall Street shit. Yeah. It leads to fucked up shit when you give this shit a pass. And I just want to comment on Jamal Bowman, from the congressman from New York, because his tweet kind of, I really love this tweet from him. He said, the myth of American exceptionalism and the lie of white supremacy don't just hurt Americans of color. They box white Americans into a false identity of superiority, Absolutely. Keeping them from fulfilling their potential and existing as humans. That's Thank what the you. Extremists are defending. Yes, if you are de facto supreme, better than everybody else just by being born with pale skin, white skin, then what more self-evaluation do you have to do? Because in your mind, you're at the top of the fucking mountain.
Your brain is broken. It is, you've designed your brain to be broken, to not let in the reality around you. You're fucked. You're entirely fucked as a human being.
Yeah. It's like ignorance is bliss, but like the very dark version of that. It's like,
well, that's what it evolves into.
Yeah. Right. Like, ignorance is power. Ignorance is corruption.
And ignorance is vulnerability, yeah. too. And then yeah. predatory motherfuckers are going to find a way to manipulate you and get you to eat up this Q shit or whatever. And next thing you know, you're putting your own life at risk off some vaporware.
Yeah. And the loudest people, the people that need that want the most change are, again, always going to be the people of color. But like, I saw so many annoying tweets that were like, black people like saved the country, and it's like, they weren't saving the country, they were saving themselves. Like, yeah. they're not trying, they don't,
it's not for y'all.
Like, the fabric of the country, it's always been against black people. It's not about that. It's about like what will happen after, like, you know, it's about stuff like this. Like, what's the progression of this, like a literal like civil war, like, you know what I mean, just like guns against, I don't know, it's
yeah,
I don't know,
but it's like, that's
maddening.
Why I'm like
maddening.
And I'm just right back to the summer, because mm-hmm. it's all truths I know to be true, and I've been told since I was a child are the realities of this place. And as much as like I can succeed on my own very narrowly, the reality remains. Like what this place looks like and who it's set up for and who it's set up against. And yeah, just you feel really awful. But you hopefully, my hope is, if fuck, the summer didn't wake people up, maybe this time it will. Because I don't know, because you have people in straight up 6 million lives weren't enough. Camp Auschwitz, fucking Hitler, this kind of shit. Genocidal people who are a part of this movement. You don't think that eventually is going to become the tone of that? Really? I mean, the clock is ticking, and it's already, I mean, but the shit's already lit. So I don't, you know, it has to start with a lot of these things. Like, if my God, to see Twitter and Facebook try and be like, hey man, we just decided we're going to put this bitch on timeout.
God,
enough
like
is
now?
Enough.
The
fuck,
12 hours.
Too late. Too little, too late. Like, people, like, I just can't believe that Zuckerberg had the fucking audacity to be like, it's time to put Trump on a timeout. It's like, where were you? Like,
yeah.
And like, people, like, Jamie Loftus got banned for like a week, she said, for like tweeting about the Zamboni brothers, versus like Trump gets like a 12 hour ban for like, yeah. what?
Real like, world violence.
It's for being like a literal terrorist.
Another interesting thing was, too, it's like, oh, interesting that happened the day the Democrats secured control of both chambers
right.
and committee yeah. assignments and things like that. Oh, wow. So I just hope those Democrats see when they can start doing shit and they have the majorities in both chambers and the president and the White House, that you can come for these people that created the feeding grounds and all of the ideology, disinformation, misinformation that manifested into the destruction and chaos and violence that we saw.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Who knows? Maybe they're making too much money and they're giving them too much in campaign donations.
Yeah.
I'm also very disturbed by the shit you see in the way that the mainstream is trying to combat this, not just Joe Biden's speech about how this is in America. There was a somebody who's up, I think, going to get one of the main cabinet appointments, was tweeting a picture of that dude with the Camp Auschwitz sweatshirt and saying, yeah, you know, there is anti-Semitism on the left, but it exists on the right, too. It's like, wait, what the fuck are you talking about?
What's the beginning of that sentence? Like, who said that?
Yeah,
who said that?
It was something that, and she's up for a Biden cabinet spot.
Wow.
There's like fact-checking being done on the New York Times that is like, now, actually, these people, we've identified them and they are from far right movements. It's not Antifa. Like, they're treating that bullshit, like that one extremist was putting out there, as an actual like story to be chased. It's like, we need to move beyond, like, we all saw what happened. They saw what happened. Nobody's believing that shit, that this was Antifa. Get the fuck out of here and start talking about how we are going to hold these people accountable.
Yeah, if they were, they would have got their shit kicked in by the police.
And part of Robert's article, there was like this part of a thread in Parler or something where they were just like, we have to wear all black. And then they were just like, no, that's the color of our enemy. And like, all the, and I feel like they were aware that I don't know. It's just, there's just so much evidence to the contrary. The fact that that the left is like, holding on, like, even not even the, just the left, I'm just not even saying real sentences, I'm just mad.
But like, we saw the president asked them to do the thing they did on national TV right before it happened, so that's one way to know that they were the president's supporters.
Yeah,
the Matt Gaetz clip is wild, where he's like, they were being peaceful, he was asking them to do it peacefully. Rudy, I mean, We saw Rudy said trial by combat. He said fight. They were saying fight for Trump, fight for Trump. And Donald Trump Jr. was holding up the microphone. These motherfuckers need to be in jail. He cannot be the president for the next minute, let alone the next 24 hours, let alone the next 12 days. Like, it needs to be over.
And yesterday, Trump was like tweeting, like, stay peaceful. Just like, you can't stay. It didn't start peaceful. You told them to be wild, like, in your words, you know? It's like, this is what you wanted. This is your goal. And
tweeting that begrudgingly because his aides were begging him. And his aides suddenly, I mean, the ability for people to just wrap their brain in a fucking blind spot, like his aides being like, this guy's a monster all of a sudden.
I'm
like,
resigning. Whoa, what happened here? Oh. Okay. I mean, and he like was
Mitt
literally
Romney is like condemning him or whatever. It's like
too late for all these motherfuckers. I mean, and that's the other thing, is I think there has to be a larger reckoning with what the GOP even is anymore.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because, but then it's almost like, you're almost like, well, at least Democrats, their only lie is just that they're going to help people. and be like, the results are fucked up. They just try and do whatever they can to get in your pants in the ballot booth. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, and I'm glad, like, similar, I've been thinking about this a lot, but like Georgia, for example, I'm so glad we got those seats. But when you really look at Ossoff, like, he's basically
been all over
a Republican. Like, he doesn't really believe in anything that we stand for. He doesn't believe in Medicare for all. He doesn't believe in all this other stuff.
It depends on when you ask him.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Because he'll say it on one breath, and then do another and be like, oh, no.
Yeah.
For me.
But the fact that I'm glad he won. And the fact that he's what we wanted is an indication of just like the left and the right kind of just being the same thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know. There's just, I'm just mad. I'm just mad and confused, and not because really confused so
it's,
much.
It's
just like
infuriating
frustrated,
because people who are not experts see the failures all around, and the solutions seem really clear, but they're not happening because it actually threatens like profitability of certain industries. That's what it's all fucking boiling down.
And I guess
to.
What I meant by the Ossoff thing is just like everyone—they're all just politicians at the end. They're not really. Like a handful of them, maybe.
We're only now starting to see groups of politicians where I go, oh, okay, look at you saying these words out loud that most politicians don't say out loud because it threatens white supremacy.
Yeah. But you the organizers, I mean? Like, we really have to, like...
That's why Cori Bush is lit as fuck.
Yeah. But the people on the ground that are actually organizing the vote, getting people out there, like, they deserve all the praise in the world versus, like, these figureheads that we, like, elect. I don't know. There's just something so backwards about it all. And it's just unsettling. There's just, it's too much, man. It's what now? What now? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? Because I believe the in Congress, they gave the Capitol Police a standing ovation.
Oh, really?
For their work.
For doing what?
You know, because I get, you know, they're like, oh, we don't want to shit on them now until we really know what happened. But damn. Like, did you have to do all that? I mean, yeah, because, you know,
you
on
clap,
one level,
to stand.
There were people that were on their job, and it was very scary. Like, there was even footage of that one cop who was shaking in fear when people were just pushing past him and was just caught in this, like, fight or flight response and just froze. I'm really curious to see what kind of reckoning happens, like, in terms of looking at how everything was set up, how it got to that point, who made those decisions, and who did nothing. But that's really going to say a lot, whether or not, even with this, they can have a reckoning. Because
I have my doubts that's going to happen, even. Like, I don't really know if there will be a reckoning. Like, that's how little faith I have.
Well, oh, come on, Shireen. I mean, look what happened over the summer. I mean, with all the Black Lives Matter movement, and then wait, nothing, actually. Yeah. And remember when they were going to announce the decision on the grand jury trial for Breonna Taylor's killers, they locked that fucking city down like 3 days in advance.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all that information is all you have to look at to see, like, this is truly what this country is. And like, you have to really look at who is fighting for what and beyond party, like truly on what are your values as a human being?
Yeah.
Because broadly, I would hope more people would say, my values as an American person is that every person has the right to shelter, food, education, work if they want to, if they're not able to work, support. And if they are unwell, they have the access to get better or to have some semblance of stability across the board. That should be the philosophy of every person who votes, not... people can get an abortion if it's rape or incest. Maybe you can get health care if you work a certain number of hours a week. No, fuck all that. Because that's also, that lack is what these people take advantage of in these other naive white people.
Yeah.
Because they're not looking at it like, they just go, damn, shit sucks. Mm. And then somebody comes in, hey, man, let me tell you why it sucks. It's Black Lives Matter. It's Jews. It's this. It's damn sure not this system of money making and oligarchy that you exist within. Is not that. It's not that. It's though. It's them people over there, and that's what's so insidious about the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's. I can't follow that. I'm not gonna try.
Well, Shireen, it's been great having you. Where can people find you and follow you?
You can find me on the internet. My handle on Twitter is ShiroHero666, and on Instagram it's just ShiroHero.
The mark of the beast.
Yes.
The mark of the beast.
Also, I feel like I'm just terrified of some of the listeners, but I didn't mean that the left and right are exactly the same. They're just, it's just like...
Man, if you couldn't pick the nuance out of that, leave her alone.
But like, to Miles's point, like... The values shouldn't be
exactly.
Like, it shouldn't be like this, like partisan thing. It should just be like good fucking person and caring about other fucking people.
Just in general, do you give a fuck?
Yeah.
Do you give a fuck? Do you think it sucks to see somebody suffer?
Exactly.
Are you moved by suffering?
I think what's disturbing is seeing these quote unquote movements. Like, I don't want to call whatever happened yesterday a movement, but. That fact, like it's like a disgusting display of terrorism, in my opinion, and like a riot that's attributed to the right, you know, and versus Black Lives Matter, which is definitely a movement, that's a left thing.
Right.
And I don't really, I don't like that. It's like, no, it's a humanistic thing. It's beyond red and blue partisanship. It's just terrorism.
Just happens to be a majority of the people who are open-eyed enough happen to also be on the left.
Exactly.
Right.
Maybe that's,
but I don't know.
Even then, Democrats aren't doing shit. So what, you know, like, what is it all for? And yeah. I think that's what's going to be, that's why I hope there's so much pressure on this administration to wake the fuck up. And people are like, it ain't just about that that they're in office now, because I'm telling you, Nancy Pelosi is willing to give these people a fucking pass.
Yeah.
So I mean, done that?
I just, so many people have to go and I just don't think they will. And I really hope there's a reckoning, but I really don't think there will be. And I think that's the ultimate like sadness that I always settle into, being like hopeful, but then realizing like the reality of this country being like, they don't really give a fuck about us. So
no. Nope.
But I think the sooner people get on that page, they can start realizing who to vote the fuck out and who to vote in.
And Georgia's a great example.
Or
of
maybe
that.
Really look at our system and figure out we may have to do this differently.
Mm-hmm.
That's a much larger undertaking. But I think people need to realize more and more, like, the caste system is so real.
Yeah.
It's fucking right there in front of your fucking eyes. And if we don't do something. Yeah. Don't do something.
Let's hope.
Anyway. Shereen, is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Yes. Okay. I have two. I'm going to start with my runner-up.
My runner-up
was CJ Toledano. He said, I've never asked this out loud, but what are white people not allowed to do?
I think that was that mine yesterday?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, really?
That was a good one. Yeah. It's a good one.
Oh, same sorry. Team. I obviously don't listen to the show.
well, nobody listens to the end when we
I'm
do
glad
the
I have two, because my ultimate favorite yesterday was from, the handle is Low Toys R Us. Why y'all keep asking where the police at? Y'all ask where Miley's at when Hannah's on stage.
Exactly.
I thought that was perfect. Like, it just, there was one of those tweets that was just like, yeah, this makes me laugh in this like moment of darkness. So I really appreciated that tweet. Also very true.
Yeah.
Fuck the police.
Miles, where can people find you? What's the tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram, @ Miles of Gray, also 420 Day Fiance, if you want to talk that 90 Day shit, which would be a welcome relief to do. A couple of tweets I like. First one, actually, let me just send this one to you on the chat, because you kind of need to see.
Okay.
Actually, let me do my one that I, that's my main. My runner up is from @ MC Jesse McLaren. It goes like this, and it's an exchange between Ilaria and Alec Baldwin. It says, Ilaria, what a week, huh? Alec Baldwin, Ilaria, es miércoles. That was in the midst of all this shit going on Wednesday. I was like, wow. Bill, because it was Ilaria Baldwin's fucking birthday, I think, January 6th.
Shit. No.
Yes, and it was like, yo, this shit is too much. And then the tweet I like, okay, so y'all need to check this one out in the fucking chat, because it's sort of like a... it's got a multi dimensions. This is from @ Mars CUV, and the display name is just Doctor. And they're quote tweeting a picture of this woman who's like doing some modeling. It says "Nasty Girl Fantastic," and it's by @ Nathy Peluso. Uh-huh. And he reads quote tweets, "Girl, you're supposed to be evacuating." This model's name is Nathy Peluso.
That is so funny.
And she posted that picture while this shit was going down, and it happened so quickly. It was like, girl, you're supposed to be back. Nathy, Nathy Peluso, who's just this model, I forget from where, but that shit made me laugh so hard.
That is so funny. Wow.
Okay, Nathy.
I mean, it really does look like Nancy Pelosi when you just look at it like glancing. So,
Wow. Shout out to her then.
I mean, not her face. I mean, her name, her handle.
Let's see.
I want to hear some more funny tweets to lighten the mood.
Nathy Peluso, girl. Is it back? Nathy Peluso.
fuck.
Can you top that?
No. I mean, there's one, there's a picture of that Laura Ingraham tweeted of somebody sitting in the speaker seat in Congress and said, she tweeted, "Who is this?" question mark. And Trevor Noah tweeted, "One of your viewers." And that is...
Wow.
Straight up. Yeah. Straight up.
True.
But yeah, all the rest are just...
You can't top. As fuck. You can't top Nathy Peluso.
I can't top Peluso. Nathy Peluso.
Nathy Peluso. Come on, Nathy.
Yeah. Oh, and of course, at Jazz in My Pants tweeted, "You miss 100% of the Bajas. You don't blast." So that's just one to keep in mind as our country disintegrates around us. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we riding out on today?
Yes, this is a track. Look, it's all about easy listening. You know what I mean? Just keep the rhythms nice and easy. This is by a band called Off the Porch. And this track's called The Blues. Because I think we're all kind of feeling bluesy, but there's like something nice to this, even though it's called The Blues. Just a little bit of, I don't know, ear volume for you.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we are going to ride out on that. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for this morning. We'll be back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
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 This ain't much of a winter, but we can act like it is in the
Tomboy X, the queer-founded clothing line that's inclusive and sustainable. Underwear, swimwear, and more for all bodies, so you can feel good about protecting the goods. Use the code IHEART to get 20% off your first purchase, only at TomboyX.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.